The NBA Finals.
Hearts are racing, heads are pounding.
No time to rest, no time to look away.
It's unbelievable!
Because in the finals, everything changes.
Oh, it's good!
Fate collides with destiny. Today's stars become tomorrow's inspirations. And four wins turn the end of a season into the start of a legacy. The NBA Finals begin June 1st on ABC.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 21st day of May, 2023. My, how fast this year is going. And tonight, folks, we have a bittersweet announcement. Well, last week we prayed for Carol Chapline, who we affectionately called the office boss. Carol, for several years, worked with me in the ministry, and she was my Girl Friday, if you will, secretary work. And she, you know, the office marm, if you will, too. At times she would help my son with his schoolwork when he was if he had a problem or something, and I was too busy to help him out, and she would be there, she would help him, and she loved the Lord. She loved the Lord. She loved working in the ministry, and she's been suffering, I know, from cancer. And so Carol had been widowed quite a few years back, and she would often mention, well, I believe she had three sons, Mark and Jeff and Mitch, I believe, and always talk about, often loved her family, prayed, always talking about praying for them, praying for her family. And sometimes I would kind of pull her chain a little bit, and she would have a sense of humor, but sometimes she'd get a little feisty with me. And but we had a good time working in the ministry over the years. And I know that she suffered, but she ran a good race, and she fought a good fight. And I'm sure that she's hearing those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so our most sincere condolences go out to the family of Carol Chapline. She died at 5:30 a.m. Friday morning, and the wake's going to be from 5 to 8 p.m. tomorrow night, Monday night, at the Abbey at 38011 Euclid Avenue in Willoughby. And that's the Abbey. If some of you remember, I believe it was Ed Corsi. I buried my dear friend Ed for many years there at the same place. He had his services there at the Abbey. And so the services will be 11 a.m. on Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. at the same place, the Abbey. Again, 38011 Euclid Avenue in Willoughby. And our most sincere condolences go out to the friends and the family. But, we're glad she is no longer suffering anymore. We're glad that now not only is she at peace, but she's seeing things that we can only imagine until we get there. We're going to miss you, but it's our loss and heaven's gain. God bless you, and we'll see you soon someday, Sister Carol. All right, I'm going to get into the message tonight. The title of the message was "The Pulpit is Responsible for It." Now, for many, many years, people have been asking me often. I get letters all the time, and people wanting to know, why aren't more preachers preaching with boldness? I get people calling me all the time, "Pastor, why aren't more preachers preaching the way you do?" Well, there are a number that do, folks. You hear them for yourself here in this ministry. You've got myself, you've got Pastor Hal, you've got Pastor Joe. You've got a number, Pastor McTurnan, a number on this radio station you're listening to me on today. Pastor Al, and the numbers, they are. But after saying that, the reality is we're a very small minority. When you take a look at how many so-called pastors there are in this country. And a dear friend of mine some years back wrote a book called "Dear Pastor, Only You Can Rescue America." And his name was Jay Menifee. Jay was a dear friend, and many years ago, I was with him when he started what you call Northeast Ohio Roundtable, which is a think tank group and a kind of a political Christian conservative political action group, which was very effective, and it went on for years, and to my knowledge is still today, and it's grown around the country. He wrote a book. Again, the book was "Dear Pastor, Only You Can Rescue America." It's a very, very good book. In fact, we sent out a lot of them out of this ministry. And in that book, on page 90, he writes this. Well, this is by the way, Charles Finney had written this. "If a person's conscience has decayed into secular beliefs, he will not be open to evangelism. He will believe he has no need of Christ's offer of salvation." Charles Finney, the great evangelist and president, I'm sorry, we're having a little bit of a problem here, but no, I think we've got it settled here. Let me go. President of Oberlin College saw this coming as early as 1873. He prophetically stated in the last paragraph of a sermon titled "The Decay of Conscience," "If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it." And so this is what I'm preaching on tonight. And we're going to start tonight in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch into prayer." Now, Peter had the Lord's imminent return in mind, and Peter was thinking it was going to happen much sooner, obviously, than it hasn't happened yet, and we're still waiting. And he goes on to say, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Well, I asked class this today, what kind of sins do you think charity might cover? And, you know, they thought, and well, they came up with all kinds of answers, but the main answer is that charity covers hatred. Charity covers greed, pride, covetousness, and grudging. Those things in particular. And he goes on to say, use hospitality to one to another without grudging. And in our church, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, I can tell you this, when one person in that church is in need, everybody shows up. We all show up. And I just, that's the way a church should be. And you know, I was saying today, how wonderful it would be if our biological siblings, our biological relatives, family, would also be a part of the church family. How wonderful that would be if they all attended church together. And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus said, I have come to set father against son, and mother against daughter, and brother against sister. But not that that was his purpose, but because the fact that those that receive Christ and those reject him, they can never get along. They can never get along. And that's why so often we see so many families that are split. And here, again, I want to say the church family, and of course, you can't show too much hospitality. If somebody needs temporary shelter and a place to live, folks, it's our obligation to help that individual, okay? And of course, we have to go by certain circumstances. Of course, you wouldn't want to put a man in the same home with a single woman, but you have to use judgment. But we need to find and be able to help these people, and we've done that over the years. We have taken in many people who were homeless, and give them shelter until that they could find a place. And he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another in good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak at the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as if his ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, we need to understand that God gives us all gifts. And whichever gift that God has given us, that's the gift we need to exercise. We don't need to say, well, you know, I know that I've got this gift, but that's not the gift I want. If God's given it to you, then you take it and run with it. God knows much better for you. I was speaking today. I knew a fellow who really wanted to be a preacher. This fellow was a twin. He was a little fellow. And he had gotten... He spoke very softly. And he had another issue. He stuttered. And especially when he would get a little bit nervous. But he was an avid reader and an avid student when it comes to the Bible student. But when it came to preaching, he just, well, you know, he would start stuttering and he would speak so softly and people couldn't really understand him. And I tried to tell him, look, why don't you just stick with the gift that God gives you? You are an excellent Bible teacher. Stay with that. Do what God has given you. This is what he's telling you. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the praise and dominion forever and ever. So we use the gifts that God has given us to the best of our abilities, to the glory of God. Now, beloved, he says, think it not a strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Well, we've lived fairly comfortable in this country for years. We've had freedoms that no other country in the world has had. And in many countries where people have never known freedom, they've never known freedom. They've been suppressed their whole lives, and they've never known freedom, so they've never fought for it because they didn't know what it was like. They've never experienced it. But we've had freedoms in this country. And now things are changing. We've got the Antichrist world system coming in. We've got the FBI has been weaponized. And the IRS have been weaponized by the Communist Party against American citizens here. We've got very, very, very corrupt people. One half of our Congress is totally Antichrist. I mean, they're totally Antichrist. And now they're going after pro-lifers. They're going after their Chris Ray and the dirty cops. Now, I do want to say and make a very clear distinction. There are still those in the FBI that have not gone bad. There's still some good people out there. They're just not in positions of authority or power. They're the lower ranks. But I'm encouraging them to do like some of their colleagues have done, and have the courage and to go out and be a whistleblower, to expose the agency, to take the agency back to the way it was supposed to be. But you go out, and I know, and they've come after these people, these Christians within the agency, who have said, you know what, this is wrong, and we're not going to do it. We have to keep our integrity. And they've blown the whistle, and they paid a price. The FBI has gone after them and tried to destroy these families. And here he says, beloved, think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange things happen unto you. If Joe Biden and the Antichrist Communist Party get their way, they're going to have massive persecution. Today, throughout the world, the persecution of the church is greater than it's ever been. But that's not even worth mentioning to the government-controlled news media, to NBC, ABC, CBS, PMS, NBC. None of them, the fact that Christians are being persecuted is so what? And so here we go on to say, but rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you should be glad also with exceedingly joy. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. And on their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. If yet any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. And I'm going to have to wet my whistle. I think you can hear this is the third time I've preached this message today. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin in us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, here, you know, when we talk about the judgment begin, it begins in the church, and it begins in the pulpit in that church. And today, a very small percentage of those that are in the pulpits today of the churches in America and around the world, a very small percentage are actually raised up and installed by God, called by God. The vast majority of them aren't. The vast majority of them aren't even saved. They're not even saved. And here, again, the time has come, the judgment must begin in the house of God. Well, the judgment that the church is going to receive is called the Bema Seat judgment. And it's not about whether you go to heaven or hell, you're already in heaven when the judgment is given. But it's whether how many rewards you receive or how many rewards you've lost if you had not done and been in obedience to the Lord. Now, as far as the lost, the unsaved people, their judgment comes 1,000 years later at the end of the millennial kingdom when they stand before the white throne judgment. And that's not a place where you want to end up, that's for sure. You don't want to be there. And because they have a fiery judgment coming. He says in verse 18, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? You know, this is one of the things we often preach about here, is to make your salvation sure. To make your salvation sure. The Lord Jesus said that he made it very clear that the vast majority of people that have a profession of faith do not in fact have a possession of salvation. The Lord Jesus said that in those at the end, many will come to him saying, Lord, Lord, have I not cast out demons? Have I not done such and such in your name? And he's going to tell them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. They were in self-deception, self-deception. And this is why we often preach to make sure that your salvation is sure. He goes on to say, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls into him, into a faithful Creator. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. Well, he was referring there, that applied to pastors, it applied to, well, today they're all by one name, whether you're you could be a presbyter, you could be a pastor, a bishop, an elder, a parson, all the same office, just with different names in the same office, but he said, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Well, he's talking about feeding the flock on the word of God, explaining how it applies to the way we live our lives today, folks. If they have to be able to have to understand the application, how we live the word of God, how it affects us today. And here he goes on saying, not by constraint, but willingly. Here, we teach the word not ever once being constrained by the world to hold back because of relations, or retaliation against us. In other words, we're preaching the gospel boldly, and it doesn't matter what the world threatens with. Many, many times over the years, when I've been on the street in front of those bloody abortion mills out there preaching repentance, preaching them about the murder, abortion's murder, I've had, you know, time and time the police come out to tell me that I was violating this law, They were just being pressured, and sometimes they were being bribed. And when they were bribed, I went after them on the air. I gave their names and their badge numbers out and told people that they were taking blood money. And boy, I'm going to tell you, they didn't care much for that. But it stopped it. It stopped them in a hurry. Little light chases a lot of darkness away. And here, when he says, not for filthy lucre. You never go to the pulpit for money. God, you know, we believe our Lord says that our rewards are in heaven. To place up our crowns, to place up our treasures in heaven, and not here on earth. You never get in the pulpit for money. That's never the right reason. I preached for many, many, many years without ever taking a pay because I was called to do that. Okay? The important thing, and not only that, but a number of the pastors at our church, all of them, they never took a salary. None of them. They always just, they did it for the cause of Christ. They were constrained for the cause of Christ to do it. And he says here, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. One of the things sometimes that pastors had a tendency, there were some. I was very, very amazed one time when a pastor who I knew very well actually sat on some boards with me, ministry boards with me, over the years. And when two of his congregation, a husband and wife, came into my business one time, I asked them, I said, hey, I could use some volunteers to help me out there in saving babies. And their response was, well, we'll ask our pastor and see if we can get permission. And I said, well, you don't have to ask your pastor. He's very, very pro-life. He'll be tickled. They said, well, we don't do anything without getting our pastor's permission. I said, well, what do you mean? They said, well, we got his permission to get married. We got his permission. He's going to tell us when we can have children. We got his permission. He told us what house we could buy. We get his permission before we purchase a car. Now, folks, that's fine if that's what you want to do, okay? But let me tell you, that in those areas, that is not the pastor's area of authority. That's the husband's area of authority. And when it comes to buying a house or having a children, you know, husbands and wife need to decide these things together, folks. But that's not the pastor's area of authority. And when he moves over into that, he's gotten out of his lane, and he's in an area where he doesn't belong. And so here we go on. Now, it's good for him to give his advice, but it is not his business to tell them that they either can or cannot do, okay? He goes on to say, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you submit one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, what is, remember the song, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will raise you up. Casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished and your brethren that are in the world. Well, going back to where we started here with Charles Finney, when he says, if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. Well, again, here, the Bible says if God has raised up the pastor, the righteous are as bold as lions. The bold as lions. And people ask me, why? What's wrong with these guys? Why are they afraid to preach the gospel? Why do they stay? Why aren't they bold? Why don't they come out and say, look, this transgender stuff, this is This is evil. This is wicked. It's middle age. Why won't they do that? Why didn't the pastors back in 62, when that ungodly court that calls itself supreme, even though they were supreme only in the rebellion against God, when they decided that they were going to expel God from the public school system, folks, the pastors in this land had the obligation to gather themselves together, to march to Washington, D.C., and put that court on trial for treason against God and country. The pastors failed God. They failed God. And so here people are telling me, and I've heard some of the prissy preachers say, well, now, Pastor Ernie, you know that the pastors don't have that kind of authority. They absolutely do have that kind of authority. No, not only that kind of authority, but they have an obligation to do that, as to be the leaders. In fact, if you go to Hebrews 13 and read verses 7, it says, remember them who have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for it's unprofitable for you. In other words, he's making a very clear point there, that, and if we go back and we look all through the Bible, we see King David, King Solomon, all of them, the prophets came to him, and the prophets said, and the king said, what saith the Lord God? And the prophets told him, thus saith the Lord God. And then you had some of the wicked prophets like Ahab, and Ahab, we would be very angry. But the prophet would go to Ahab and tell Ahab that he needed to repent, he needed to do it in a hurry, and he was in a whole lot of trouble with God. And even though Ahab didn't want it, Jezebel put a contract out on Elijah. And then you had the case with John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he went to Herod, and he said, Herod, you've taken your brother's wife, Herod. And so John the Baptist and Elisha, these prophets, they did what God had authorized them to do. And folks, listen to me. You hear me on this radio program, and you hear me shouting out to Joe Biden and these others and telling them they need to repent. That's my job to do that, and I do it. Now, a lot of these preachers, they get upset. They say, well, he shouldn't be calling their names out. And the reason they do that is they're afraid. There's a dearth of courage. There's a dearth of courage there. And so, what are they afraid of? Well, starting off, they're afraid of offending Caesar, the government. They're afraid of losing their 501c3. They're afraid of offending the mainstream media. They're afraid that they might get some bad press from the fake news media out there. They're afraid of wealthy tithers in the church. You know, the wealthy tithers say, you know, I don't want you to be controversial. I just come here, look, I'm here to have you tell me what God wants to do for me. I'm putting money in this church, and now I want you to tell me how many ways God wants to bless me. That's what you're getting paid for. They don't want to offend the wealthy tithers. Oh, they're afraid of the sodomites, what is called LGBTQ. Why, they're scared to death that they're going to show up at their door, and they're going to scream and yell and make mean faces at them and cuss them out. Well, folks, let me tell you something. What a better opportunity to preach to those lost souls, the heathen, than to have them come to you. That's when you go out there and you take the gospel message. And let me tell you, in a fiery sermon, God's word does not return void. Believe me, I know. I've taken it to them many, many times over the years. And you would be surprised how quickly they back down when you come right at them with the Word of God. They're afraid of the collective, meaning the Antichrist, Communist, Democratic Party. He said, if the public lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. Well, moral discernment. I got to tell you this. You talk about, they use the term morally challenged. I will say, in effect, every single individual in the Democratic Congress, every single one is morally challenged. Okay, every one. And I can tell you that by their votes. I can just hold up their voting records and show you right there. Here, today, when they talk about abortion being a woman's right, that's a lie told by liars. That's a lie right from the pit of hell. That is a lie that came right from the pit of hell. In fact, let me just tell you. Revelation 21, verse 7 says this. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Those are saved people. The saved people will overcome. But then he says, but the fearful and the unbelieving, do you understand? There, you know, wherever you find fearful, you find the unbelieving. Why aren't these pastors preaching boldly? Why aren't they preaching boldly? Well, they're fearful and unbelieving. And the abominable, that's the Sodomites. The very first time that word abomination was used, it was used to describe Sodomites. And murderers and whoremongers. Now, the whoremongers here are both sexual and political. Both sexual and political as far as the whoremongers go today. And I don't know which is worse. And he says, and sorcerers, aha, sorcerers, big pharma, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. This is what the pharmakia, where you get the word pharmacy, means sorcerer or witchcraft, is sorcery. And what has happened with Pfizer and Moderna, and they've killed thousands and thousands of people with their deadly shots. They've killed thousands and thousands of people. And they've used their great wealth and money to pressure, which could have been legitimate hospitals in that, to pressure them into dispensing their poisonous drug, to promoting to give people these drugs that are killing people and making them sick. And all kinds of horrible things are happening through these so-called vaccines that are not vaccines at all, but bioweapons. And then idolaters and all liars. Now we go back here to all liars. And so here, when we talk about abortion, the mainstream media, what they call same-sex marriage. There is no such thing as same-sex marriage. There is no such thing. God gave us the first divine institution, marriage and the family. And when he did that, he gave us the definition. Definition is one man, one woman, one lifetime with God. And believe me, what they call same-sex marriage, God has said is an abominable thing and is fornication. And God has told the truth. And anyone and everyone that says that that's marriage, when you take two sodomites and put them together, is a liar, and there's no truth in them. Now, that's what the Word of God says. God gets it right, folks, believe me. Here, when they're talking about, and today, I can see why Melinda Gates left Bill Gates. He's promoting more now. He wants to promote more pedophilia. Remember, he was good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. And now Gates, because he feels he has enough money. These people become these billionaires. They think their money justifies their sin and their rage against God, the rebellion. It doesn't. If Bill Gates had a million times as much more money than he has now, he would still won't buy him 1 minute out of hell. He's in for a very rude awakening, lest he repent. You know, God doesn't stutter, I'm telling you. He talks about drag queens. These are abominable things, the so-called transgenders. These aren't transgenders, folks. Give me a break. I've got to take a sip. God gave us two genders, male and female, folks. That's the long and the short of it. All of this other stuff, these people are simply, well, they're not well. They're not just morally challenged, they're mentally challenged too. They're mentally challenged, and they're greedy. These people that are doing this, that are mutating these children, so-called physicians are greedy. They're greedy, and they're evil. And I'm going to tell you, I think there's a special hot place in hell for people that do these things. And feminists are, I've heard women who are professing Christians talk about that they're feminists. Let me tell you something. Feminism comes right from the pit of being a feminist, not being feminine. Effeminate is good for a woman. But feminism, as it is today, is right from the pit of hell. It's the same as witchcraft. It's rebellion against the place that God's given them and against their husbands. And it's the same as witchcraft. And then, here, today you very, very seldom hear people using biblical terminology the way they should. I've actually had to correct several guests on my radio program over the years. You see, whoever frames the debate wins the debate. I've never lost a debate because I refuse to use the language of illusion. I will not let them give me their terminology to use. I won't do it. I got to tell you, I got a great, wonderful source of wisdom of words, and that's right here in God's Word, the Bible. They don't return void. And let me tell you, they crush the opposition with it. It really bothers them when you use biblical terminology. It really does. Now, if the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. Well, a lie is a lie. Remember what I just read you over there in Revelation 21. Listen, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, listen, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No stuttering going on there, folks. Not a bit. Making it very clear that all liars, and boy, I'm going to tell you, you see, folks, a lie is a lie is a lie, even when it's called a narrative. Even when it's called a narrative, it's a lie. And here, remember the Russia narrative? That was nothing but a big, fat lie, told by liars. And remember Nancy Pelosi said she had absolute, concrete evidence. She knew all along. She was lying through her teeth, and she knew it. And Adam Schiff said he had the documentation. He had the proof. He, too, knew he was lying through his teeth. In fact, all of those Democrat congressmen knew that they were lying through their teeth. What about the climate change hoax? According to all these prophecies made from these climate change wackos, we've already gone past our time. The Earth is no longer here. We've been totally annihilated. We've froze to death. We turned into an ice age, and then after that, the ice all melted, and all the major cities, New York City's underwater. According to all of this, again, It's a lie told by liars. What about critical race theory? Again, right from the pit of hell. And all of this, you know, let me ask you this. How many of you ever there ran into a binary person? How many of you ever ran into a binary person? I asked the congregation, do any of you know anybody that knows one? Again, this is a lie told by liars. Finney said, if the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. Now, you wonder why that is. Folks, if you take a look at what's in the pulpits, and so many today, now, here's the good news. The good news is most of the new churches that are springing up are actually fundamental Bible-believing churches, to my knowledge. I know a lot of them, where people are leaving these mega entertainment centers, and they're actually wanting to hear the Word of God preached. They actually want to go in and hear a message and attend an actual church service, not an entertainment session at a country club called the church. Here, think about this. Think about what tries to pass themselves off as men of God. Let me tell you something, folks. Men of God, how do you know if God has raised them up? One, they're going to be bold. Two, when you hear their preaching, you take the Bible. And that Word of God, that Bible, will tell you if God raised them up or if these are apostates. We take a look at today, for example. Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton's an ambulance chaser. This guy, some years ago, I was driving my car down Mentor Avenue when I got a call. And whoever it was called me and said, you got to turn on 1330 right now. I think it was 1330 right now. And I says, why? He said, well, Al Sharpton's on there. And I said, why in the world would I want to listen to Al Sharpton? And he said, well, he's talking about you. And I turned on there just in time to hear him say, don't listen to that, Pastor Sanders. He's a racist. Well, I'm not a racist by any means, but Al Sharpton is a liar. And he is a race baiter, and he's an apostate. Listen, when he tells you the Bible teaches that abortion is all right, abortion is lawful, he's a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in him. Killing children is a horrible sin. But Al Sharpton, he's a minister from hell, folks, and he's a rape baiter. Now he was this fella, this Marine, that put that guy in the chokehold because he was threatening people. Now Al Sharpton's out calling this Marine, who's a hero, he's calling him a white supremacist. Again, Al Sharpton is a race-baiting ambulance chaser. And then we look at Jesse Jackson and Rick Warren and Kenneth Copeland. Folks, believe me, President Trump could have done a lot better without Paula White as one of his spiritual advisors. And, well, for that matter, look at the Pope. The Pope says, humanly speaking, that Christ actually failed at Calvary. Christ failed at Calvary. If Christ had failed at Calvary, folks, then there's no hope for you or me or any of us out here. And that's just one of the many, many things that he said that are not biblical. And so, Finney says, if the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. Well, those are out there today teaching another Jesus. They're teaching the neo-evangelical, the apostate church, are teaching a Jesus that's non-judgmental, that's tolerant of sin. Let me tell you something. There has never, ever been anyone that walked this earth that is less tolerant of sin than the Lord Jesus himself. He doesn't stutter. What does he tell you when it comes to sin? Repent and do it no more. Repent and do it no more. Remember the woman that was taken in adultery? What was his advice? He didn't say, well, repent and then go and don't sin so much. No. He said, sin no more. And so here we have, and we have so many effeminate pastors. And by the way, folks, women, the Bible is very, very clear. Women are not to be ordained ministers that pastor a church and preach to men. God's Word, the Bible, doesn't stutter. It's very clear. Women are not to be in the pulpit as pastors of a church over men. No. They're fine to be teachers of women and children, but they are not to be in the pulpit teaching men. The Bible doesn't stutter on that. It's very clear, too. Even if you disagree with it. I've had women tell me, well, I disagree with that. And I said, that's okay. You're entitled to your opinion, but I got to tell you what. Your argument's not with me. It's with God, and you're going to lose. And so you have here, if Satan rules in the halls of Congress, the pulpit is responsible for it. Folks, all I can tell you is this, that the entire Democratic Party, is totally Antichrist. Have you listened to some of the people they bring in to open the House and the Senate in prayer? Again, most of them are women nowadays that they bring in. And they'll bring women that are lesbians, that are living in an adulterous relationship with other women. And folks, God's Word, the Bible, doesn't change. God's immutable. He stays the same today, tomorrow, forever. Finney goes on to say, if our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. Folks, you know what you have out there today in politics is the good, the bad, and the ugly. You've got some people out there, and I want to say, we have, praise God, we have some good politicians. President Trump by no means is perfect, but I would say he's one of the two best presidents in my lifetime, for sure, that we've had. We've got some good people, like Governor DeSantis, Josh Hawley, what a great senator he is, Jim Jordan, terrific congressman, Ted Cruz, again, John Kennedy, that Congressman Comer, he's really been going after the Biden crime family. I mean, Matt Gaetz is another one, Rand Paul, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's a little, along with that Lauren Boebert, but those two little ladies, they're fiery, feisty little ladies, and you know what, they're doing what more men should be doing. They're standing up, and again, so we have some decent people there in the Congress, and we have to support those people. We have to support them. If more of them had done what they should have done in 2020, well, folks, we wouldn't have the problems we are. Our country would not be going downhill as quickly as it is. Joe Biden is destroying this, the Communist Party. He's destroying this country rapidly. And had the Congress and those senators, had more of them stand and encourage, had Mike Pence done what Mike Pence was supposed to do, we would not be in this shape. But they didn't have the courage when it counted. And I was really disappointed with some of those who I had thought were really good people, like Tom Cotton, and I've always really liked Marsha Blackburn, but they failed to step forward when it was needed. But we need people like that today. On the other side out there, we've got the bad and the ugly, which are some of the very worst. Remember Nancy Pelosi? Nancy Pelosi said she had absolute evidence, pure evidence that about Russia. She was lying and she knew all about it. You got the squat, those four wicked women. I call them Jeremiah 2, 34 women. Jeremiah 2, 34. If you want to know what about the squat, read that verse. Kamala Harris. Governor Whitmer in Michigan. That woman is wicked to the bone. She is wicked to the bone. Along with that female governor of New York. Wicked, wicked. You've got Maxine Waters. Whoa. You got Jerry Nadler. Remember Jerry Nadler when he said that God does not have a voice or vote in Congress? You've got that Senator Fetterman out of Fetterman, right, out of Pennsylvania. That guy's covered with tattoos. Janet Yellen. Remember Janet Yellen said, "You women out there that are pregnant, get rid of the kid and get back in the workforce." How wicked! How wicked you are! Of course, Obama, Biden, folks. You know, I don't have to say anything. That man's, again, another wicked to the core. Bernie Sanders, no relation to me. Chuckie Schumer, and all of these. I'm not going to be able to finish this message tonight, but I will, Lord's willing, during the week. So we are out of time for tonight. And, as we get to this time, every night, we try to give the salvation message. And I just want you to know this, Lord, there's no in-between. You're saved or you're lost. You're saved or you're lost. It's kind of like you being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. And if you have not made that commitment, if you don't know that if you died tonight, if you can't say, "Pastor, I know if I died tonight, I'd go home to be with the Lord," like Carol Chaplin, folks, then you probably wouldn't. Then you haven't made the commitment. And you don't want to run out of tomorrow, so do it tonight. Pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, with no reservations, and they will honor that commitment. The only ones you can absolutely trust without question is God. They'll honor that commitment. You'll become a new creature, a born-again believer. You'll become an heir of the kingdom. That's absolute. And when that happens, you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You have God's word on it. Now let me ask you a question. Is there anything more sure than the Word of God? Nope, there is nothing more sure than the Word of God. The power there, the universe was spoken into. And so, that's my message for tonight. I'm running out of time, and I ran out of voice at the same time. So, as we say at this time every night, good night. God bless, and always, always, and I mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
The NBA Finals.
Hearts are racing, heads are pounding.
No time to rest, no time to look away.
It's unbelievable.
Because in the finals, everything changes.
Oh, it's good!
fate collides with destiny. Today's stars become tomorrow's inspirations. And four wins turn the end of a season into the start of a legacy. The NBA Finals begin June 1st on ABC.